In the Hot Seat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke goes to Capitol Hill today. He faces some potentially heated questions about the Fed's role in Bank of America's purchase of Merrill Lynch. You might recall the B of A CEO testified before Congress about the purchase as well. The acquisition cost taxpayers $20 billion. Texas billionaire Alan Stanford faces a judge in Houston today. The court will decide whether Stanford will be detained until his trial for an alleged $7 billion fraud. Meanwhile, the repercussions in the case continue in the Caribbean island of Antigua, the former British colony where Stanford based his business. Stephen Beard has the latest.
This week, the Antiguan authorities fired their top financial regulator. Leroy King is alleged to have turned a blind eye to the fraud in return for bribes worth thousands of dollars. Antigua is still reeling from the case. Alan Stanford was the island's biggest employer. He was turning the country into a regional banking center. Christian Verkel is with IHS Global Insight. He says Stanford's disgrace may have dashed Antigua's financial ambitions.
This is especially bad for the government at this time because the financial service industry is seen as a key sector for diversifying the economy over the medium term. The economy is still very tourism and construction dependent.
The government now seems to acknowledge that it bent over backwards to keep Stanford happy, perhaps even removing the previous financial regulator at Stanford's request. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
European stocks are mostly lower by under 1% right now. Asian markets closed up today around 2%. Yesterday, S&P shares were higher on Wall Street by more than 0.5%. The Nasdaq gained 1.5%. The Dow lost a little ground, falling about 0.25% yesterday, closed just under 8,300. Nike yesterday said its profits dropped in the latest quarter. And home builder Lennar today reported a slightly larger second quarter loss. Add that to word from yesterday that there was a dip in new home sales. And you've got a housing recovery that could be pretty drawn out. So how are home builders getting by these days? Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
I was reading yesterday about a backlog of more than 45,000 pending foreclosures that have stacked up in the Phoenix area when one of the comments posted below caught my eye. Tell me again, the reader wanted to know, why new home builders are still in business. Although scores of small builders have gone belly up, no major U.S. home builders have closed shop, so how are they getting by? Seems some were lucky enough to build up their cash reserves before the market tanked. Analyst Robert Stevenson at Fox Pit Kelton points out, in some cases, unloading their empty lots has been critical.
Simply because they're selling their land and converting that into cash. But the margins continue to be under a great deal of pressure given the operating environment.
Some have even been able to get by on hope, raising cash by selling bonds to investors on the promise of an eventual recovery. This all makes for a head-scratching assessment from Stevenson.
Most of these companies are still cash flow positive, but their earnings negative.
How long can the life support hold out? Just this week, the head of Pulte Homes said while his company's in strong shape, he sees more home builder bankruptcies on the horizon if things don't improve soon. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Vice President Joe Biden says more than half of the economic stimulus money set aside for highway projects has been allocated. He plans to tell the cabinet today that every state and territory beat Monday's deadline to identify part of their spending. He says $19 billion has been set aside to pay for 5,300 transportation projects.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
The government today releases a final revision of first quarter GDP, and we'll get new claims for unemployment benefits today as well. Add those barometers to this week's dour World Bank Global Economic Outlook, or the more hopeful Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. You could get real confused about where we are in this recession. We asked economics correspondent Chris Farrell to help sort it all out. He joins us this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, and I'll try to make sense of it.
Yeah, well, how do we find the so-called bottom of this economy if all these indicators are pointing in all these different directions?
This is what the bottom of a market looks like, or at least an economy that's trying to get to a bottom. You get these conflicting reports. You get the stock market. Stock market goes up. People go, hey. Then the market crumbles, and they'll go, oh, the obstacles of the growth are just terrible. So I think for the average person, it's really confusing out there.
If you were to look, Chris, at just one or two of these indicators to get an accurate gauge of the environment, the economic environment, what would you look at and why?
Well, there's a couple things that I'd look at. One, out of the gross domestic product report, and that's our broadest report, you know, the value of all the goods and services in our economy. You know, it gave us an indication about the consumer. And the consumer just hasn't been spending very much. And of course, you know, Steve, we don't really need government statisticians to tell us that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but you go to the shopping mall, it's not that crowded. Go to an auto dealer lot. You know, you get a lot of attention these days. So we know that the consumer's not spending very much. Nevertheless, this is an economy that is largely driven by the consumer, two-thirds of our economic activity. So I want to see what's happening with the consumer. And the other thing that I want to see, and it might be part of my personal finance hat, but what are we doing on the savings front? People are really paying down that debt. They're trying to save more, and it's showing up in the numbers. So I'd be looking at tomorrow's report, what's going on with personal spending and what's going on with personal savings.
You want to go out on a limb, Chris, and tell us where the bottom of this economy is?
All right. So we got the fiscal stimulus is working its way through this economy. And I like what I'm seeing going on in the credit markets. So I don't think I'm actually going that far out on a limb if I say that what we're seeing right now is an economy that's bottoming out. And when the National Bureau of Economic Research, you know, the wise people that gather around, oh, a year from now, and they'll say, when did the recession end? It's going to be over the summer.
Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us. We're going to hear you on Marketplace Money as well.
That's right. And we'll cover a lot of savings topics, believe me.
Chris Farrell, thanks.
Thanks.
Where do you think the bottom of the recession is? Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.